Why you're failing at prioritization. In today's episode, or I should say today's video, I'm going to take you from overwhelmed to, watch this family, in control. These are some prioritization tips for project managers. I don't care if you're new, I don't care if you're intermediate, I don't care if you're old. But these tips right here are really gonna help you. If you're new to the channel, I go by the name ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, that just simply means Ed. I have an 8-point framework, and these 8 points, my goal, my challenge is to be able to unpack today's title, which is entitled, The Art of Prioritization, How Project Managers Can Focus on What Matters Most. Ooh, that's key, what matters most. You mind if I share a story with you? You know, family, I remember when I first really started understanding this principle of being able to prioritize. When I understood the principle, it took me from being, I'll say, a okay project manager to at least a better project manager. What do I mean by that? See, family, what I was doing was saying yes to everybody that was calling my name, that needed something from me, instead of putting frameworks or putting checkpoints in place so I'm not a roadblock for my stakeholders. A lot of times as project managers, especially new project managers, that you get this power, this power to be able to lead people that do not report to you. And sometimes you want to make sure that you are doing your very best, which is nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you want to give everything that you got, which is nothing wrong with that. But the point of it is, family, is we have to have the ability to let go. And letting go meaning is letting go and allowing the team to do what they came to do, to allow the team, because they are the subject matter experts. Our job is to control and make sure, when I use the word control, that they don't go outside the boundary. And if they have to color outside the lines, that we're there to put in a change order. Oh, I like that. All right, let me give you 3 quick quotes and then we'll get into today's, through the 8-point framework. First quote by Stephen Covey. The key is not to prioritize what's on your schedule, but to schedule your priorities. Ooh, I like that one, but I like this one even more by Miles Monroe. He says, prioritizing sharpens your vision so you can focus on the most important things. And the last and final quote by Peter Drucker, efficiency is doing things right. Effectiveness is doing the right things. Ooh. That last part where he said effectiveness is doing the right things. I hope today that I could give you one of these points that can help you do the right things. Point number one, minimize multitasking. I've shared this with you and I'll share it multiple times, because anytime I do anything about prioritization or what are your priorities, you always got to minimize multitasking. I know it's hard, especially as a project manager, you got all these different things you have to do, but I'm gonna tell you, I wish I could say that you're able to do it. Yes, you are able to do it, but is it effective? You remember what Peter Drucker just told us? He said efficiency is doing things right, but effectiveness is doing the right thing. So I challenge you, family, I encourage you to do deep focus work and focusing on single tasks for longer periods instead of being spread thin through all the ways. One of my favorite books that I always recommend anytime I'm doing anything on prioritization is The One Thing by Gary Keller. Excellent book. I may even just do a book club on, because all these books I recommend, and I just get to share them with the family. Let's move on to point number two. Point number two, empower team decisions. Listen, your job is to do this. Set clear guidelines and objectives to ensure that the decisions that they're making are aligned. How do we do that? Well, what we do is delegate the authority to an experienced, that's the key word. If I could underline that, if I could have something on the screen I could bring up and say, experienced team member to prioritize the tasks within that domain. Now, I will say this is my caveat. This is my stopgap. This is where I say, pause, please. Is what I'm saying here, family, is that this team member has to be experienced. Now, I know this is going to be subjective, because you're going to say, ED, well, what does experience look like? Is it 1 year? Is it 10 years? Is it 30 years? Well, this is one of those things you're going to have to fill out and see, hey, does this team member, so give them something small to start with. You know, I always want to give you actionable items. Give them something small to start with, a small decision. See how they tackle that and then continue to grow that. And then eventually you could just be able to pull away and focus on other aspects of the project while that particular team is working on that particular task item. Family, I really want to thank everyone that has been locked in and watching these episodes. Hit that like and subscribe button if you haven't hit it yet. It's not going to cost you anything. I think last time I checked, it was free. So come on, do your boy a favor. Hit that subscribe and like button. Matter of fact, we are building out a school, as you know, so feel free to click on the link in the description. I think I have it somewhere in the description there so you can get in where you fit in and we can have talk some more about this thing that I love that I hope you can fall in love with called project management. Let's move on to point number three. Value meeting versus non-value meeting. Ooh, I'm about to ruffle some feathers here. Here we go. Let's get some let's get our ruffle on. Listen, family, I don't know about you, but when you get into this thing called project management, you're going to have a lot of different meetings, and you're going to have a meeting that you just had about the meeting that you just had about the meeting prior to the meeting you just had. I know that's a tongue twister. I know you're like, what is he talking about? Is he okay? Yes, I'm okay. But let me explain what I mean by that, family, is that a lot of times what ends up happening is that people love to meet just to meet, to say they checked it off. My thing is I want to have a value meeting. Ooh, what's a value meeting? A value meeting is my goal is hoping that you get value out of the meeting just as well as I get value out of the meeting. And you can see what the exact opposite of a non-value meeting is that we're there and we don't even know what we came for. We're there and it turns into more of a personal discussion than it is a professional discussion. Again, there's a time, as my mom would say, there's a time and place for everything, baby. But the time right now, if we got a meeting going on, let's talk about what we came here for. And a lot of that has to do with the project manager. That also has to do with your stakeholders. You need to engage your stakeholders and say, hey, when they say, hey, could you set up a meeting? Great. What do you want to talk about? Oh, you want to talk about the schedule? Okay. You see where I'm going with this, family? You got to keep digging, because if you just keep it broad and say, oh, we'll just talk about the project schedule, you get on the call. And then the stakeholder says, oh yeah, well, regarding the project schedule, we'll have our task done by such and such time. You're like, man, you and I could have met for that. We just took up the whole team's bandwidth when they could be working on something. So the whole point of having value meetings is to ensure that the team can do what they need to do and work on the things that they need to work on. Some of the tips that I normally do is that instead of having your normal 30 minute to 60 minute meeting, I would have various touch points with the stakeholders, maybe 10, 15 minutes, just touching in with them. Hey, how's it going on those task items? Are you running into any trouble, any impediments? What, talk to me less. 15 minutes, it should be in and out. And then we have a bigger meeting where I take all of that information I've collected from them through the week, or if it's bi-weekly through over the 2 weeks, and we talk and I say, hey, this is where John is. This is where Fred is at. Fred or John, do you have any updates since the last time that we communicated based on the information I'm sharing with you today? Yes. Okay. Yes or no. And if they say yes, then I allow them to expound. If they don't have anything, then we continue to move on, because the purpose, again, family, is we just don't want to meet to meet. I know there's a lot of people out there that's not going to like that, because they like to use meeting as a shield. So they can say, oh, well, I've been in back-to-backs all day and I didn't get a chance to work or do that task that you asked. No problem with me. I'm going to make sure you get that opportunity. But I digress. Let's move on to point number four. Break down objectives into measurable milestones. See, that's huge, family. A lot of times we'll have this huge task list, and it's like, it looks daunting. I mean, from, you know, especially if you're a new project manager, you got all these tasks and you're like, man, are we ever going to finish this project? You know, so being able to break it down and what I call bite size or manageable size pieces is going to help just not even you, but also the team as well, as we're progressing forward and finishing this project. All right. Point number five. This is one of my favorites. Schedule blocking. What is schedule blocking? Schedule blocking is really the ability to take time and block your calendar so no one can block, I mean, so no one can schedule a meeting or have an impromptu meeting with you, anything like that. Basically, you schedule this block of time to focus on the high priority task that's on your schedule. Also, to look over your project management plan, look over all of the different areas, look at the communication plan, look at just this gives you a time to check in to see, has anything changed? Is there anything I need to be aware of at this time? This is really a more time for you. This is what I call my woo-sah moment, woo-sah moment. Really, just taking the time just to really step back from the project a little bit and then step into the project. Oh, I like that. See, when you step back, you get a chance to look what is kind of like, well, do I need to? I don't know. And then when you step in, it's more or less that you're really making a decision, like, what do we need to change? So let me remix that, family, because it got really good to me. What I'm saying is family, when you step back, you're looking at what the different choices that you can make. You haven't done any, you haven't took any action, but when you step into the project, now you've made a decision. You've constantly said, you know, consciously, excuse me, said, I'm gonna make a decision that we're gonna make this change, and when we have our next meeting, or I'm gonna send out a correspondent to let the team know what is actually going on. Let's move on to point number six. This is another one of my favorites. Keep the main thing the main thing. I don't even know how much deeper you want me to go on this, but I know I got an intelligent audience, so they're gonna ask me to go deeper. So, family, here's the deeper thing. Learn to say no. Here you could say it even if they don't understand English, say it in Spanish. No. Point I'm trying to make, family, is that we can get caught up as project managers attending all these different meetings, and I always say this too, which again is probably gonna ruffle someone's feathers, but the true project managers out there know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you'll get invited to a meeting. Not because you can add value. Well, I take that back. You can add value, but they want somebody there to take notes, or they want somebody to set up something else, a digital. You're like, hey man, I'm working a full project. Like, this is something that you can do on your own. So again, family, we have to understand when we need to say no to meetings, even to impromptu meetings, if there's no value. You keep seeing what I'm doing here. I keep talking about value. If there's value there, then here, yeah, put me into this impromptu meeting. But if there's no value and it's just we're not doing no brainstorm, we're not attacking a problem, we're just theorizing. Hey, you know what? Let me know when y'all come to a problem that you have, or you've got out the theorizing box. Point number seven, leverage technology for prioritization. Family, there's nothing wrong. Utilizing a project management software, Smartsheets, Microsoft Project, Asana. Well, Asana is more of a collaboration tool, or Mondays.com. I love both of those tools, by the way. Leveraging these tools, a reason why I love some of those last two I mentioned, Mondays.com and Asana, is because of the real-time progress that you're able to show. Also, you can even use a SharePoint site. If you have your project, if you have, let's say, your project report of how the project is performing, and team members can go in there, or excuse me, I should say stakeholders can go in there and put an update, and it's real time. Like, I love the real time type reporting, because if at any point somebody should be able to go in there and see where the project is at. Point number eight, balance stakeholder interests with project goals. Again, I'm going to say that again. Balance stakeholder interests with project goals. I'm going to tell you, your stakeholders are going to ask a lot of you, which they should. They're going to demand a lot of different things, but there's a difference between asking and demanding. So when it becomes to the demand, you go right back to the scope. Does it align with our scope? You're not saying no, but you're not saying yes either just yet, until we have a conversation to say, I know you want to add that new widget onto the wi on the, but does it align with the scope? If it doesn't, we're not going to do it. Now, we could put it in a backlog. We could save it for future reference if we want to present it to a customer as an upsell or something like that. But currently, this is what the customer paid for. This is what we need to work through and make sure we get this to completion. Also, but don't get so dogmatic on that, as far as, like, how should I say this? Like, you're just trying to block what your stakeholders are saying. No, you really want to engage and find out, identify the key stakeholders, understand their expectation and interest before we even get started. That should even be initial. I think a lot of times we forget that as project managers. We don't gauge their expectation and their interest and document it, because if we document it and if anything changes, then we could say, okay, so now you were expecting this, but now you're expecting that. No problem, let's document it. One of my favorite things that I use is a RAID log. I said I was gonna do a video on that, on showing a RAID log. A RAID log stands for risk, action items, issues, decisions, and I also throw in a queue, RAID queue, in question. So what I would do is, for let's say I'm having a call with stakeholders, I would document those decisions and with a date and who was all there in the meeting, who made the decision. This will help you long-term, family, in case something ever comes back. Because you remember, documentation is always going to be conversations. Until next time, I'm out.